you will be made perfect in both soul and body, and you will reign forever with Christ in unimaginable glory.
Wonder Lake Bible Church,
building mature followers of Jesus Christ.
Well, folks, we are concluding our series that we've been considering the riches in Christ, how God has poured out His blessing upon that. And from the Scriptures, what does that mean? What has God done for you in Jesus Christ, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ? We've said, you know, a lot of people would just love to win that lottery, wouldn't they? Win hundreds of millions of dollars if they could. And yet, how often do we see these stories of lottery winners who get all of this money, and for a while, it definitely changes things, but after a while, they come to see they're still the same old person. They still have problems, and that money didn't solve all of their problems. In fact, it may have even brought a whole host of new problems into their lives. We've seen that story played out again and again and again, and yet people still continue to reach for it, to try to grasp something that ultimately cannot, does not, and will not satisfy the deepest longings of our hearts. Because there's only one thing, one person who can satisfy the deepest longings of our hearts, and that is God, and how He has revealed Himself supremely in His Son, the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we have placed our faith in Him, then we become recipients of true riches, riches that will last forever and ever, riches that truly satisfy the heart. And yet, even as I say that, I know, and you know too, that even though we are the heirs of these great riches, it doesn't mean life is always easy right here, right now, is it? We are subject to affliction, to trial, and tribulation. As believers in Jesus Christ, we're not exempt from the pain that can come to us in this life, physically, relationally, emotionally, in every way. We are subject to these things. And so my hope today as we conclude this series on our riches in Christ is that you will be encouraged and that we will reflect on the things that are eternal and live for the things that are eternal rather than the things that are transient, temporary. Well, as we have been discussing our riches in Christ, we've seen the Ordo Salutis, the order of our salvation, the way in which God has unfolded these great blessings to us, the blessings of salvation. We have seen then that even before there was anything, God already knew you and He loved you. He chose you in Christ before the foundation of the world, that you would be made like Christ and that you would receive all the spiritual blessings that are in Christ. It's an incredible thought right there, isn't it? That even before there was anything, God already knew you and loved you and had purposes and plans to bless you for eternity in Christ. We saw then that in time God called you to Himself and He regenerated you. He gave you a new spirit, a new heart. He made you alive spiritually through the new birth. That having been made spiritually alive then, He gave you faith, trust. Trust in Him, trust in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He changed our thinking, our attitude. He gave us even repentance as a gift of the Spirit of God working in us. And then justification through faith in the life and the work, death, resurrection of Jesus Christ. That God has declared you righteous, holy. Think about that. God says not only are your sins forgiven, but you are holy, perfect, in My sight. Incredible, isn't it? He's declared you righteous, as holy as Christ Himself, forever and ever. He adopted you into His family. You are a child of God, and with that come all the rights and the privileges of being a child of God, a member of His family, and a co-heir along with His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That God has worked to separate you from sin. He separated you from judgment, and He has separated you unto Himself to work in you. And he's progressively working to separate you from the power of sin in your life in the sure and certain hope of total deliverance from sin. God calls us then to persevere, to continue on faithfully. But even that is his by his power and by his grace as he holds us securely in his hand, upheld by his mighty power. Today then, we're concluding with this incredible truth of glorification. In a word, that God... How many of you feel like your work of redemption is all done? And said, if you stopped right here, that's good. This is good enough, Lord. Okay, I'm glad no hands went up there. Would you be a little disappointed if this was the extent of our experience of our salvation? What we experience right now, this was it? I'd be a little disappointed. Well, God, though, is going to finish what he started. He's not a quitter. He's never going to quit on you. He's going to finish what he started in you and complete that work of redemption by perfecting you, making you perfect in both soul and body. Incredible. So today then, glorification, all things new. That you will be made perfect in both soul and body, and you will reign forever with Christ in unimaginable glory. You know, folks, with these things that we've considered here, what we're going to look at today, boy, if we can't get excited about these things, I don't know if there is anything to get excited about, is there? If we can't worship him and thank him for these things, something wrong with us. So let's pray the Spirit then to enlighten our minds, open our eyes and our ears today, and receive this wonderful truth. I'm going to start in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. The Apostle Paul is speaking here, and he says, "But we, believers in Jesus Christ, but we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. And to this he called you through our gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by our spoken word or by our letter. And now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word." One of the things that glorification is saying is that your soul, your spirit, the essence of who you are, will be made perfect. We said, in one sense, when the moment you believe in Jesus Christ, when you are justified, then you are declared holy and righteous, and that standing is now yours before him by faith. Perfect, holy, and righteous. But we don't experience that perfection right now in these bodies, do we? Our spirits, there's a battle that still is at work. Anybody ever feel like you've got you're of two minds? There's the side of you that wants to please the Lord, and then this other part of you that doesn't want to? Well, if you feel that way, well, you're just like everyone else, every other believer in Jesus Christ, and even the Apostle Paul himself, who speaks of that wrestling there. He says, "I don't even understand myself. That the good that I want to do, I don't do. And in fact, the very evil that I hate, that I don't want to do, that's what I find myself doing." Can anybody identify with that here? And that's our current state, isn't it? Now, fortunately, the story doesn't end there. There's a lot more that can be said about that. But the reality is we have all experienced and continue to experience that inner struggle within us, that we know we are not yet what we will be. And glorification is that time when we will be all that God intends. And that struggle is gone. Holiness, righteousness, which is ours by now, by standing in him, by faith, will be our present everyday reality. Your soul will be made perfect. We looked at the scripture there in 2 Thessalonians. He says, "But we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers beloved by the Lord, because what? God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth." God has chosen you, the believer in Jesus Christ. He's chosen you in Christ to be saved. And you've been set apart, sanctified by the Spirit and belief. God has done a mighty work in you, setting you apart for Himself by the Holy Spirit and your belief. You were called then through the gospel. Verse 14, to this He called you through our gospel. But you know, the gospel is not just the good news of forgiveness. It's the good news of holiness and eternal blessing. So He says, to this He called you through our gospel, so that, what? You may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that you may become glorious like Jesus. Incredible, isn't it? He has called you that you may obtain the glory of Jesus Christ. But you will be perfect, holy, glorious as He is. Now, I didn't say we're going to be as glorious as God. We are not going to be God. But we will share in the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we will be holy and righteous as Jesus Christ is holy and righteous. Morally perfect, without sin. This is a very practical truth, too. Knowing that you will be who you will be, so then do what? Verse 15, do what? Stand firm. Again, there's that call to persevere. To stand firm. Stand firm and hold to the traditions that you were taught. So it's standing firm, holding on to the truth of the gospel message, the truth of the Word of God. And now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope. Isn't that eternal comfort and good hope? God's comfort isn't just for right now. Well, it comes to us right now, where we are, when we need it. But how long is His comfort going to last? For eternity. Eternal comfort and good hope. Hope in the Scriptures, again, it's an absolute sure thing. A good thing that just hasn't happened yet. This is a very good thing, isn't it? That we will be perfect, holy, and righteous. So stand firm. Hold on to the traditions. Hold on to what we've been taught. God loves you. He's given you eternal comfort and good hope through grace. It says, now may He comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. Establish you in every good work and word. So between now and when this happens, we have a job to do, don't we? Our job is not to try to be worthy of God's grace. Our job is not to try to prove that we can hold on to our salvation by our own efforts. No, our job is what? Is to proclaim the grace of God, to be His witnesses, to be servants of the Lord, to use the gifts and the abilities that He has given us to serve. So He says, may He establish them in every good work and word. In other words, all that we do and say, may God establish them. In other words, make your life count for something. Make your life count for eternity. You know, I think that's a fundamental longing of the human heart, is for your life to matter, to count for something. Isn't that one of the most depressing things to contemplate, is to think that you don't matter, you don't count. But God says He will establish our every word and work. Make it count. Eternal significance. This is part of, boy, this good news just keeps getting better and better, doesn't it? So glorification means that your soul will be made perfect. You will obtain the glory of Jesus Christ. You will be, in practical experience, righteous and holy as He is. But it's not just our souls He's saved and He's going to make perfect. Human beings, we are material and immaterial. We're body and soul. It's not just our souls He's saved and making and glorifying. It's our bodies as well. And so we read in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50 through 58, I tell you, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, that is, we're not all going to physically die, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable. This mortal body must put on immortality. And when the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not, what? In vain. So your soul will be made perfect. Your body will be made perfect. He says, what the perishable cannot inherit the imperishable. These bodies are not suitable for living forever, are they? I think we all know that. They're not suitable for living for thousands of years, even in this world, are they? They're not suitable for 200 years. They're really not even suitable for 100 years, are they? Actually, I'd say most of it say they're not suitable for much longer than about 25 years or so. It seems about age 25 is when things start really going downhill. These perishable bodies are not suitable for living forever. The perishable cannot inherit the imperishable. These bodies are not suited for glory. And therefore, they will be changed, made suitable for glory. In other words, made perfect. All traces of sin and effects of sin eradicated. And made glorious like the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. Sleep in the scripture is a euphemism for dying, for physically dying. And not all believers are going to physically die, right? Because there's going to be a generation that is alive when He comes again. And that generation will be instantly changed. Wouldn't you love to be a part of that generation? We might be. We might be. But those who are alive when He comes, they will not sleep, but they will be changed. And of course, we know those who have died in Christ. In fact, they will be raised first. They'll be changed first. Their bodies will be glorified first. And then the bodies of those who are alive and believe in Jesus that has come, those will be changed. And the mortal will put on immortality. And death will be swallowed up. Death is our greatest enemy, isn't it? Therefore, there's that word therefore again. In light of that, the scriptures are eminently practical, aren't they? Therefore, in light of this great hope, this truth we have, be steadfast. Keep going. Don't quit. And know that what your work and what you're doing for the Lord, your work, your labor in the Lord is not in vain. It's going to count. It matters. There's that theme again. It matters. Therefore, be steadfast and abound in the work of God. Your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So God is making your soul perfect. He is making your body perfect. But you know what? This redemption, this great work of redemption, is not only limited to believers, to our souls, our bodies. Because the reality is He's going to make all things new. He's renewing the creation itself. We see in Revelation 21, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away.' And he who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.'" And I love this part. "Also he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.' And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And to the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. And the one who conquers," that's you, the believer in Jesus Christ, "the one who conquers will have this heritage. And I will be his God and he will be my son." So glorification means that your soul will be made perfect, your body will be made perfect, and all things will be made new. The creation itself will be renewed, a new heaven and a new earth. That's a lot to reflect on and to be grateful for, to be excited about. But I want to conclude, though, with one final scripture passage and thought. As I said before, we know all of these things. We know this is true, but life is still hard in this world, isn't it? We've not been delivered right now from all the pain and affliction that this world can deal out. But we have reason to stand firm, and we do not need to lose heart. And that's why we can rejoice, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. But we have this treasure, the gospel, our riches in Christ. We have this treasure in jars of clay. Jars of clay were ordinary vessels, easily broken. We're the jars of clay. Ordinary people, easily damaged. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to who? To God, and not to us. We are afflicted in every way. Anybody identify with that? But not crushed. Perplexed. Anybody ever been perplexed here? Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. And here's something incredible. What I'm about to read here, I find one of the most fascinating and profound thoughts in all of Scripture that I don't even pretend to begin to understand. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. And here it is. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, passing away. But the things that are unseen are eternal. What is this incredible truth there? Even affliction now is not something merely to be endured in the hopes of what is to come. In fact, it is a vital ingredient in what God is doing to bring, to prepare you for, and to bring unimaginable glory. Affliction is not merely to, this life is not merely to be endured. It's counting for eternity in even affliction. God, what does it say in that great golden chain of redemption in Romans 8? How what God is working for our good in all things. Those who are called, he justified. Those he justified, he glorified, right? Even affliction and hardship and difficulty is somehow preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all compare. The image here is like a scale. Now, if you have this scale here, you're trying to balance the scale here. Well, we put on this side, we're going to put our light and momentary affliction. How many of you think your afflictions in life are light and momentary? They don't feel light. And they don't feel momentary, do they? But in the light of eternity, they are indeed light and momentary. If you put all those over here in this scale, and then you put the eternal weight of glory on the other, right? It's not even, there's no comparison. Does anybody understand that verse? Give me some. Isn't that incredible? That even affliction and pain and difficulty, God is turning into an eternal weight of glory. And that's why we're told, do not lose heart. So what? What do you want me to do today? Well, I want to remind you, first off, again, what we've said, that you, the believer in Jesus Christ, you will be made perfect in both soul and body. And you will reign forever with Christ in unimaginable glory. And in light of that, I'm going to ask you, are you standing firm? Are you persevering, standing firm in the sure hope of glorification? And even that's by God's power. Standing firm is God's power, isn't it? I'm glad my persevering or my standing firm or continuing in the faith isn't dependent on me. Trust me, you're glad that it's not dependent on me either, right? It's dependent on God's power. But he calls us, what? To do so by standing firm in him, in his power. So are you persevering, continuing? Are you standing firm in the faith? Don't lose heart. Remember this sure hope that you have. So are you persevering in that sure hope of glorification? And then the final thing, this is very practical. What do I want you to do today? I want you to rejoice. Rejoice in the riches that we have in Jesus Christ, His grace upon grace. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for the incredible riches we have in Jesus Christ, none of which we deserve, none of which we can earn or pay back, but it's all for Your glory. To You alone, Lord, be the glory. Thank You, Lord, that You have known us and loved us before time, that You purposed to give us eternal blessing in the Lord Jesus Christ, that You called us, that You've made us alive, that You've poured out blessing upon blessing, every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies, ours in Jesus Christ. That You've forgiven our sin, that You've justified us, declared us righteous and holy, that You're working powerfully in our lives to set us free from slavery to sin, and that You're going to complete that good work of redemption, that You're going to perfect us in both body and soul, that You're going to make all things new, and that even now You're working in and through our afflictions, preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Lord, may we leave here today with grateful hearts, praising You, giving thanks in Jesus' holy name. Amen.